Hey, everybody. The IRS is now making house calls. Matt Taibbi is targeted. What is the fourth branch of government and the administrative state? We will talk about that and so much more. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA. Turning Point USA is part of the solution to save America. Go to tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here. Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. There is a buffet line of tyranny happening in America right now. Unfortunately, there's so much tyranny, we don't even know where to focus on. But we're going to start with a very important story. We touched on this briefly yesterday, which is Matt Taibbi, who is a citizen journalist. More than a citizen journalist, he's an award-winning journalist who exposed the Twitter files, testified in front of Congress, talked about how Twitter has been working with the Federal Bureau of Investigation, exposing how Twitter has been an arm of the intelligence agencies, was cross-examined by Democrats when he was testifying in front of the Weaponization of Government Committee. He is a liberal, by the way. And as we see, his testimony was powerful. It was dramatic. He's a liberal. We have to keep reminding people of that. And interestingly enough, a couple days ago, Matt Taibbi gets a knock on the door, a house visit from the Internal Revenue Service. That's a journalist who's getting a shakedown. The same day he was testifying in front of Congress, he gets a visit from the IRS. Is that just a coincidence? Look, the IRS, an IRS agent, paid Taibbi an in-person house call to tell him they needed to talk to him about his taxes going back as far as 2018. Now, if you know anything about the IRS, it's extraordinarily rare to get a house visit from the IRS. Maybe if you're actively laundering money or involved in international drug trades, but typically they send letters and it takes months to respond. And these are usually done as civil investigative demands. And you have a chance to respond with a lawyer, and there's a whole process that goes through. But the IRS doing a house call? Who approved this? Who's behind this? Now, it would be suspicious enough if he got a letter in the mail from the IRS that week asking questions. But a house visit by the IRS? Now, some of the detractors say, oh, come on, Charlie, the IRS, not a big deal. No, the IRS is one of the most dangerous, one of the most, let's just say, powerful government agencies that is able to ruin your life, that is able to disrupt your quality of life, if they so choose. Powerful and very unchecked, as is most of the fourth branch of government. Taibbi says that he's never really had any tax problems before this. And how many of you have ever had the IRS show up at your house in person unannounced? Now, it is true the IRS will sometimes do audit visits, but they have to find a date and time, an agreeable location. They don't just show up unannounced and start talking about taxes. Now, if this was just some one-off or some sort of accident or some sort of fluke, we could dismiss it, but I think we're all smarter than that, aren't we? And by the way, this is a liberal citizen journalist, award-winning journalist, who dares speak out about how the federal government is involved with censoring dissident voices. And what do? They go send a shock trooper from the IRS to go try and chill speech. This is what happened. This was the Internal Revenue Service showing up at the door of Matt Taibbi to intimidate him. It's that simple. Intimidation is their mission statement. It is mission critical. It is imperative. They must be able to target their political enemies. Lois Lerner did this with the IRS and Tea Party groups. You see this with Department of Justice targeting moms and dads at school board meetings. The regime will not allow dissidents to speak freely. They must use political force and try and crush you. And the IRS typically works too slow. So they thought that they could probably intimidate Taibbi, bother him, get in his head, if they could do a house call, an unprecedented house call. Let's go to cut 55. Fox News reports IRS shows up at Taibbi's home. Play cut 55.
A journalist behind the Twitter file says the IRS paid an unannounced visit to his home. Listen to this. Matt Taibbi claims he was testifying in front of the Select Subcommittee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government when the IRS made an unexpected visit. So, was he targeted?
Yeah, and they're going to come to your house next. There's now 87,000 new IRS agents as part of the Inflation Reduction Act. And we tried to warn about this, and the media mocked us, and Mark Kelly voted for it, and Raphael Warnock voted for it, and a lot of normie Republicans voted for Democrats in the midterms, and they're going to get house visits. But the people they're going to visit first are, of course, Real America Voice listeners and viewers, grassroots conservatives. They need to be able to use unchecked political power to intimidate you. This is not some sort of fluke or an accident. This is not some sort of coincidence. This is a targeted campaign to chill speech. The IRS is not there to deliver a pizza. They're there delivering fear to political enemies. And I just want to reinforce this. The IRS doing house calls is extraordinarily rare. I did not even know they're allowed to do it. But to do it the same day that Taibbi is testifying? Who approved this? What manager of the IRS? And guess what? These people are never held accountable. Lois Lerner, who weaponized the entire Internal Revenue Service against Tea Party groups 10 years ago, is still getting her full pension today. She never went to jail. She was never held accountable. And there is a pattern here. Obama was the first one to use the IRS to deploy the shock troops against political enemies. They denied tax-exempt status for years, slowed down the Tea Party movement because they were opposing Obamacare. Now, this was a big scandal, but Paul Ryan and many of the Rhino Republicans failed to investigate the IRS scandal 10 years ago, and they really were never held accountable. Now, the IRS has more funding, more shock troops, more bureaucrats, more people to do the work of outright chilling intimidation than ever before. So why wouldn't Biden do this? It's not as if anyone gets held accountable. This is the Stalinization of America. It is full, outright Gestapo behavior. And here's Matt Taibbi, a liberal. And that is really kind of why they're doing it, because they consider him to be a traitor to the party. They hate Charlie Kirk. They hate Steve Bannon. They hate Tucker Carlson. But there's a threshold of revenge that these people reach when one of their own defect. When one of their own, who used to kind of wear the jersey of the American left, decide to speak out against the party, that's what they really want to put on a show trial. Because they're afraid of mass defections from the American left. They have to try to shut up Matt Taibbi, former Rolling Stone journalist. This is why they're going after Elon Musk. You're not allowed to defect from the party. And it fits into this phallus, by the way, of intimidation. The IRS investigations, then you have the prosecution of Douglas Mackey for making a meme, the endless ways to try to charge Trump and indict him and intimidate him, going after moms and dads, indicting Steve Bannon, raiding James O'Keefe's home, raiding Rudy Giuliani's home, targeting pro-life protesters. Meanwhile, we have new news where the Department of Justice was under direct orders to not arrest the illegal activity outside of Supreme Court homes, despite the fact that a Supreme Court justice was almost murdered by that type of activity. There's a lot here. We're going to play some of this tape, but this is not a popular thing for people to hear, and you're not going to like it. But under this current regime, we are living in an enemy-occupied country. They have taken over the government, and we have to think as dissidents. That's not a comfortable thing. I don't find joy in saying that. This is not a free society where a journalist gets a house call from the tax collecting authority with criminal arrest power the day he's going to testify bombshell information against the regime. That is not a country. That is a free society. Do we have elements of a free society? Of course we still do. It seems like it's hard to trust anything anymore. Our most important institutions are being destroyed piece by piece. Are you prepared for the worst? True freedom comes from self-reliance, and that means having a good supply of emergency food. Right now, My Patriot Supply is knocking $200 off their popular three-month emergency food kit. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to get the special price before it's too late. Your three-month food kit provides over 2,000 calories a day for optimal strength and energy in stressful situations. Best of all, it's very delicious. Your whole family will love it. You get breakfast, lunch, dinner, drinks, and snacks. Listen, you'll be very glad you have this food when the time comes. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and save $200 on each kit your family needs. Get one per person. Do not put this off any longer. Tomorrow may be too late. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com. Save $200 on each kit your family needs. Get one per person. Do not put this off. They're a fabulous company. Get the service today. MyPatriotSupply.com. Charlie, I worked for the IRS for over 15 years in several different areas. Over 90% of the contact with a taxpayer is done by mail and phone calls. If you do meet in person, it has to be done by appointment. This is scary beyond belief from a former employee of the IRS. So why is it that this happened? This was obviously coordinated. The fourth branch of government has never been held accountable by the Republican Party. They're finally starting to get into the action here. And look, I'm going to be speaking to a bunch of members of Congress next week and their staff. I'm going to really challenge them that this Leviathan, this fourth branch of government, this needs to be crushed. This right here stands against all the promise of liberty. It is like a street gang. If you want out, they beat you up. They kill you. That is how it is with Matt Taibbi. He was part of the liberal, quote-unquote, street gang, and you say, hey, I'm done. They're gonna beat you up and throw you in an alley while he's about to testify in front of the Select Subcommittee on Weaponization. Listen to how the Democrats treated him. So Matt Taibbi gets a house call from the IRS, and then he gets treated like this from the party. And by the way, I use the term the party intentionally because that phrase is all throughout social needs and literature, Orwell literature. We could talk more about that throughout the week and on our AMA Friday. But if you understand the philosophical and religious components of the worship of the state, the term the party or the regime carries a lot more weight, especially if you've done a fair amount of reading of Soviet literature. Play cut 67.
The FTC has extraordinarily serious concerns about Twitter's handling of consumers' data, and that there's something going on between congressional Republicans and Elon Musk. Mr. Chairman, Americans can see through this. Musk is helping you out politically, and you're going out of your way to promote and protect him and to praise him for his work. This isn't just a matter of what data was given to these so-called journalists before us now. There are many legitimate questions about where Musk got the financing to buy Twitter.
So-called journalists. And so all throughout the hearing, they were pressing Matt Taibbi to reveal his sources. You have to wonder. We'll play cut 66 in just a moment. You have to wonder that, did somebody plan the IRS visit so that Taibbi would just reveal his sources? Did they do the house call to his front door the day he was going to testify for the purpose that he would break? Was it the equivalent of waking up with a horse's head in your bed? How the mob used to operate? Beautifully demonstrated in the fabulous movie Godfather. Kind of get the message. Dead horse head, kind of back off. Don't mess around. Play cut 66.
Well, conclusion is that he is in fact your source.
Well, you're free to conclude that.
Well, sir, I just don't understand. You can't have it both ways, but let's move on.
No, he can. He's a journalist.
No, he can't, because either Musk is the source and he can't talk about it, or Musk is not the source And if Musk is not the source, then he can discuss.
No one has yielded. The gentlelady's out of order. You don't
and
get to speak.
And she's out of order because he's interrupted.
The gentlelady's not recognized.
You're not recognized.
He has not said that. What he has said is he's not going to reveal his source. And the fact that Democrats are pressuring him to do so is such a violation.
We're asking him about his conversations with Musk.
The gentlelady has not yielded you time.
So they were trying to set the preconditions with threats. In the back of Matt Taibbi's head, that whole testimony, he was thinking, boy, they're going to try to crush me financially. They might try to put me in prison. It's exactly the message they were trying to send. Makes you wonder how many congressional testimonies get visits from the IRS besides Matt Taibbi. How many times in the last couple decades when there's a star witness that's supposed to show up, they get a call from a government agency? Is this the first time this has ever happened? Or is this a playbook? Is this a blueprint? The Democrats were mad that journalist Matt Taibbi was shedding light on their censorship efforts. So they had to crush him, intimidate him. Thankfully, Matt Taibbi has courage and boldness. He is a liberal, but he's also honest, and he certainly isn't weak. And he gets a knock on the door from the Gestapo because what he was about to say was a direct threat to their efforts to silence political dissidents. And they're going to keep on doing this. You have to wonder, how many people that are scheduled to testify right now in the next month or two or three are going to get house calls from the IRS? Going to get a call from the FBI? Did the FBI orchestrate this? Did Christopher Wray know? Did the current head of the IRS know this? Who is in charge? Who authorized it? Are you feeling burned out and a little tired? Look, I want to tell you about something that I've become a big believer in. And if you do not know about it, you got to research it. You could fact check me. It's NAD. NAD is a precursor for your body to be able to create ATP, which is basically the life force of everything that you do. And look, there's a lot of people out there that are promising energy and doing all this, but go do some research on NAD and go see actually how incredibly important it is for high performance to be able to go actually get to the next level. And so what does NAD stand for? Well, try to take a note here. It is nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide. I did that pretty well, don't you think? NAD. It's a coenzyme that is central to metabolism. Again, don't take my word for it. Go watch a YouTube video or two or three or four and go fact check me on it. I've been taking NAD for quite some time. And people say, Charlie, how do you travel 2,700 days in a decade? How do you do the 300 days a year? How do you do that? Look, it's not only because of this. I eat well and do other things as well. But if you look at NADH, especially when it combines with CoQ10 and marine collagen, it boosts your body's cellular function. I would never tell you guys to go do something I myself did not do. And Strong Cell has been able to put together a scientific breakthrough in cellular health replenishment that combines NADH, CoQ10, and marine collagen. When you combine them together, you get mental clarity. And that's a must for me. It's not just that. It's for vitality. It helps your immune system. It's all good stuff. So go to strongcell.com/Charlie today and see for yourself. It's not a stimulant. It doesn't contain any caffeine. I'm talking about overall health from the cellular level. NADH has been called the anti-aging enzyme that helps with so many issues like brain fog, short-term memory loss, blood pressure, heart disease, blood sugar retention, and so much more. And look, it's not a magic pill. It's like, oh, I'm going to start taking this and I'm going to be super smart. No, it's an additive, an amplifier on people that want to get better. But I could tell you it makes a big difference. I've personally seen undeniable benefits from taking Strong Cell and engaging with NAD every day. So I had to partner with them. I vetted them. I checked out their ingredient profile. And do yourself a favor and give Strong Cell a try. Visit strongcell.com/Charlie today and use promo code Charlie and you get a special 20% discount on your order. Again, that's strongcell.com/Charlie. NAD is your body's ability to create ATP. Don't believe me? Go to WebMD, go to Science Direct, go to Nature Journal, NIH, YouTube. It's all natural. It's naturally occurring, and you're giving your body more of what it already needs. Use promo code Charlie. Again, that's strongcell.com/Charlie. Don't forget your 20% discount by using promo code Charlie at checkout. Strongcell.com/Charlie. The theory of the administrative state comes from German historicism that we must yield our liberty to the experts. And it has been an ascendant theory over the last 100 years. Now, what is the administrative state? The administrative state is what we call the fourth branch of government. So traditionally, we talk about executive, legislative, judicial. obviously in Article 1, 2, and 3. Article 1 is the legislative. Article 2 is the executive. Article 3 is the judiciary. And they're supposed to have separation of powers. They're supposed to check and balance one another. But the ascendance of the theory of the administrative state is that we have this fourth branch of government. Woodrow Wilson really drove this forward. Woodrow Wilson was one of America's worst presidents. He was an academic. He won with a plurality of votes, not a majority of votes, largely because Teddy Roosevelt ran as a third-party candidate against William Howard Taft in the 1912 election. Woodrow Wilson was the president of Princeton University, governor of New Jersey, became president, and was one of the most radical presidents in American history and the first president in American history at the time to actually intellectually and philosophically challenge the promise of the American founding. He engaged in what then was called modern liberalism, saying that, hey, these ideas, antiquity, and the anchoring of the roots that come from the American founding are outdated. We now have steam engines. We have the printing press. We have all these advancements. We have trains that can go intercontinentally. We now are more advanced. The same arguments that the scientists make today, 110 years later, where they say we have Twitter, we have vaccines, we have Facebook, we have Advil, we have Tylenol, we have electricity and air conditioning. Therefore, we're smarter than the founders. When the founders were rooted in wisdom, which is the knowledge of things that never change. But the collective academia, really the project of John Dewey, they don't believe in classical education. They do not believe in the knowledge of things that do not change. And that's what's so dangerous about the administrative state, is the administrative state is staffed with people that have disgust and disdain for a classical view of humanity. What is a human being? Somebody with a soul. It's not a mistake that we exist. We were designed with an intent. At the very least, the founding fathers believed that God was four main things. God was above nature. God was personal. God was moral. God was holy. The administrative state is largely staffed with people that believe none of those things. They believe in power. They believe that the administrative state needs to be more powerful than the other three branches of government. And boy, are we close to that. We're basically living in that country. You see, the administrative state has supplanted the promise of limited constitutional government with the tyranny of unbounded anti-constitutional bureaucracy. You see, the progressive thinkers, they were very impatient with this idea of separation of powers. If you properly study the American founding, it's just so beautiful what they did. It's just incredible. And I think that is our great hope. I think our great hope is a U-turn back to what the founders already gave us, because this document, the United States Constitution, is built on eternal principles. It's built on things that do not change. So it will be just as relevant 200 years from now as 500 years from now as it is today, because the raw material of a human being does not change. And so the Constitution, the heart of the United States Constitution, is a doctrine of separation of powers. That's why, by the way, many conservatives are finally waking up to maybe Google is too powerful. Maybe these private companies are too powerful, because no one should be able to have absolute despotic control over a citizenry. And we see this in the Declaration of Independence, where we see the distinction between man and God. God is mentioned four times in the Declaration of Independence. We're going to talk about this a lot in July, in our July 4th series, re-educating the American population on the beauty, and I believe the divine nature of the Declaration of Independence. But what the progressives think is that government no longer has to be limited, that government can bring us to a new utopia, which hilariously, utopia literally means nowhere. And Thomas More wrote that in his book, it literally means nowhere. But this is the most important part, okay? Is that the administrative state is unchecked, unelected, unknown to the American people, and largely has unlimited amounts of power. The administrative state is so powerful that Trump barely held on to power. The administrative state is another way to say the deep state or the swamp. The administrative state is the more technical academic definition, but you can use whatever definition you like. Administrative state, deep state, bureaucrats, government agents, all are actually fine. And Donald Trump is pinpointing this beautifully, by the way. If Trump stays on this message and he says, elect me as your ambassador, as your surrogate to crush the administrative state, that is a winning message. We lived in COVID under the terror and the tyranny, not of Congress, not of the executive branch, not of the judiciary, but of this unconstitutional 100-year project of the progressives of the administrative state. Play cut 70.
The rule of law is a tremendous threat to Western civilization. And I say, I was asked the other day, and I took a little heat for it. They said, who's our biggest threat? Is it China, sir? Or is it Russia? I said, no, our biggest threat are high-level politicians that work in the United States government, like Mitch McConnell, Nancy Pelosi, Schumer, Biden, Justice Department, because that's poisoning our country.
It is poisoning our country because the people who are the sovereign in this project do not currently have a check and a balance on any of those instruments of power. So when we start to see the IRS do house calls to Matt Taibbi, they're able to do that because we have diverted and we've took such a dangerous detour from what made this country sustainable, which was the United States Constitution and the promise of the U.S. Constitution. And so we have just learned, by the way, that the Department of Justice issued a memo dissuading marshals from arresting people outside of Supreme Court justice homes, even though it was illegal. It was against the U.S. federal law to demonstrate, to influence an opinion outside of Supreme Court homes. Brett Kavanaugh was almost murdered, and his whole family was almost murdered because of this activity. Praise God, they were able to arrest them. A few weeks earlier, Garland fielded questions from the Senate Judiciary Committee about this, on his agency's failure to prosecute those picketing the homes of justices. Garland has insisted that the decision to arrest protesters lies with U.S. Marshals. He said, quote, U.S. Marshals have the authority to arrest anyone under that statute. The Attorney General does not make that decision to arrest, which is just not true. The marshals on the scene make the decision whether or not to arrest, and we know that's not true. Garland is able to issue arrest warrants and indictments at any time. He's the Attorney General of the United States, not to mention he does that with January 6 prisoners. And so you're trying to tell me a grandma goes into the January 6 Capitol Rotunda, takes a selfie, and gets prison time, but somebody illegally is trying to influence a Supreme Court decision with violence, intimidation, with their family in their place of residence against Section 1507 of U.S. Code. Let me read Section 1507 of the United States Code. It prohibits the picketing of Supreme Court justices or other federal judges to change the outcome of a legal case. But when the protesters demonstrated at the homes of conservative justices, U.S. Marshals made very few arrests. Senator Katie Britt from Alabama revealed this was not a mistake. Rather, it was a directive. The U.S. Marshals were under direct orders to not make arrests, instructing them to arrest protesters only as a last resort. And so isn't that an interesting thing? And boy, I mentioned this on this program, and if there's just a couple things that you constantly take away and you write down and you study and you ponder, it is the great Sam Francis in the 1990s who came up with the term anarcho-tyranny, where we're going to allow disruption and chaos when it fits the party's objective, like protesting outside of Supreme Court homes, bombing abortion clinics, sending death threats to people like me, Trans Day of Vengeance. But we will use tyranny if you're not helpful to the party or not helpful to the regime. For example, if Matt Taibbi goes to testify to expose government censorship efforts, we will deploy the shock troops on you. That inconsistent application of the laws is exactly what happened in Mao's China and in the Soviet Union. As Cicero said, the great Roman consul and author, the more laws, the less justice. They can riot in your neighborhood, but you'll be charged if you point guns at them. They can be outside Supreme Court homes, but if conservatives go in the Capitol Rotunda and take selfies, they're going to a gulag. Just this last week, left-wing protesters stormed the Capitol. None of them are going to go to the DC gulag. Woke grandma who runs our monetary policy, Janet Yellen, was asked about the IRS, the stormtroopers, going to Matt Taibbi's home, or Sturmtruppen in the German. Cut 65, woke grandma who runs our economy, play cut 65.
A couple of weeks ago, we had a journalist before us, Matt Taibbi, who, by the way, is not a conservative. He's an independent journalist, but is known to be progressive or to the left, not to the right. And during the few hours that he's appearing before Congress, an IRS agent appears at his home and leaves him a note. Are you familiar with this? Are you aware of this?
No, I'm not.
And I would ask, I mean, you're an economist, you're a mathematician. What are the chances of that being just luck?
I'm not aware that IRS agents do that, except, as you said, in cases where there's an investigation for law breaking that's underway.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't an investigation for tax issues. He was an investigation for thought crimes. He was under investigation for pushing back against the regime. Bill Hagerty says that we should restrict funding from the Treasury until it explains. Why don't we restrict funding anyway? Why does it take this? Play cut 54.
I think that the hearings are going to bring a lot of clarity to this, a lot of visibility that's needed. Again, I'm going to continue to put pressure through the Appropriations Committee on the Treasury to get to the bottom of this, even if it requires withholding their funding.
Of course it should require withholding their funding. We have 87,000 new IRS agents that are going to show up to you. This is the blueprint, by the way. The new social credit system, ESG, is going to be the prerequisite to be able to create the precedent for house calls and for Gestapo-like stormtroopers to show up at your home. By the way, no one's going to get fired over this. You understand that. I don't mean to be cynical. The agent that showed up, whoever directed the agent, they're just going to say, oh, yeah, you know, we have permanent jobs here. By the way, Congress has some power to defund this garbage. The debt ceiling is the standoff. Why don't we defund those 87,000 IRS agents? Lois Lerner is probably in Cozumel enjoying her taxpayer-funded pension when she destroyed the Tea Party movement, not destroyed, but she stopped the Tea Party movement with the Internal Revenue Service auditing Tea Party groups and stopping them from getting tax-exempt status. No one was ever held accountable. Nobody was ever fired. Nobody lost their pension. By the way, Andy McCabe, I think, got his pension back. I saw that story a couple weeks ago. Andy McCabe, who did criminal activity with the government. And I think this is one of the things that is a bubbling up effect that I hear from people. It's infuriating. It's maddening. And grassroots folks, I think, do their best to be able to articulate it. But let me try to kind of collect the combined fury and put it into words, which is you, the American citizen, go out of your way with deliberate action to do the right thing. Educate your kids, go to church, not commit crimes, and pay taxes. Love America, pray for America. And you do it routinely. And life is getting harder for the rule followers and getting easier for the rule breakers. I think that's a pretty accurate summary, that the people that break the laws are actually getting more advantages, and the people that follow the laws are getting poorer via inflation, job cuts. And so you see, for example, Lois Lerner or the IRS or Janet Yellen or Andy McCabe, their lifestyle is only increasing and improving despite the fact that they have participated in outright naked criminal behavior. I have a very simple question. I can name Wall Street officials, crypto scammers, you know, people that mess up, you know, do all sorts of different sort of bank fraud. That's all. I'm glad they're being held accountable. Can you point to me, outside of outright perverts, which there's not enough of that being held accountable, outside of outright perverts or sex crimes, when was the last time somebody in the leadership of the federal government was perp walked or put in handcuffs for abusing government power against the citizens? Just by a basic logical observation, they're not immune to criminality. We know James Comey, Andy McCabe, Nelly Orr. It's not only that these people aren't perp walked, it's not these people go to jail, they get promotions. Fauci fails upward. Rochelle Walensky, Francis Collins, these people lie repeatedly, they get rewarded for that. If the people who actually enforce the law themselves don't get accountable when they break the law, you have a serious issue. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.